Do it again.
Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world.
You're listening to Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling.
Hey girl, a martini, shaken, not stirred.
Don't try and church it up, son.
You can't handle the truth.
I am big. The picture that got small.
Your first one's on us.
That's enough. Come on.
You're listening to Wait. Drinks.
Big crescendo.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen.
Karaoke at its best.
That is Richie Byrne.
What are we listening to?
As Drinks. The opening song. The new opening song for Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling. I'm your host, Mark Grigadano. With me, as always,
Richie Byrne.
Your producer, Soul Joel.
Now, that beautiful, beautiful, beautiful song was recorded by our special guest
Who's
today.
Also beautiful.
Yes. Who's also beautiful.
Very much so.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Maureen Langan.
Woo! Yay! May I please tell you, those were the vocal stylings of Richie Byrne at the Valley Forge Casino,
yeah.
Where he burst into song with a lovely, middle-aged, attractive African-American woman and woman, and they serenaded each other. And I couldn't function because nobody takes karaoke more seriously than you, Richie.
Now,
but you do have a good voice, I have to tell you.
Can
the
I,
high note, not so much there.
He brought down the wall of racism across America.
Can I tell you
yep.
the other night?
Hand in hand.
He did the Valley Forge, and I was off. I came down, did a guest spot. We ended up in the karaoke bar.
No.
And the DJ couldn't have been greater. He's like, hey, Soul Joe, go to his show, blah, 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 the whole thing. And all of a sudden he looks over and he goes, Richie Byrne is here.
Did you get up and sing?
Yeah.
He's the Babe
I sang
Ruth
by
of
myself,
karaoke.
Though. I didn't.
Did you sing all by myself?
Oh, no, I sang with Mark. Mark and I sang.
Look, we Mark Riccadonna.
We did some Elvis.
We did do Elvis. That was fun.
Yeah.
You know what's funny is I wasn't drinking, but I almost forgot because I was so tired.
Yeah, you had that tired eye?
As soon as I walked into the thing, Gino was saying to me, he goes, I think you're drunk, you're too drunk to go home. You better get a room. I go, I haven't drank yet.
Shout out to Gino Vento.
Yeah. Shout out to Gino Vento at Gino Steaks.
I like the haircut.
Thank
I think it's
you.
A nice. I
Why
think
you
and Soul Joe. Because I didn't
haircut.
Recognize it. Because it
she
looks. It's very
it
becoming. I didn't know it was him, but you and Soul Joe look very similar now.
All right.
Well, I'll take it.
They
it's
both
down.
Have dark hair and they're both overweight. That's
what
Look at the kettle calling
is
the pot.
Is that what you're saying?
So
Richie's the oddball out because he has blonde
I'm actually
hair.
The kettle calling them.
So, what are you in the middle of pouring?
Well, you did say bring a beverage.
Can I just say that we've been doing the show for what? 28 years, and Maureen Langan is the first comic to show up with her own alcohol.
And the first person to listen to several podcasts before
yes,
she got here.
I'm very,
so, you don't know what a pro
knows.
I am?
I'm
I don't know if anybody
of you.
Not knows
I'm
this.
Very,
this is
I'm
so well, hurtful.
Flattered.
We expect that you're a pro. It's just how bad everyone else is.
That's
it makes
true.
You not
that's,
just stand out. You
yeah.
Stand
you,
it,
I just... Yeah.
All right, so I've been listening to you guys. I wanted to bring something different, but this is one of, red wine is one of my favorite, and I did hear that you guys drink red. I know,
I
Richie,
like
particularly mm-hmm. you. And I was going to bring something called Franciacorta.
I
which,
like a red that goes with my vodka.
Or I thought you meant with your cheeks.
I have sunburn, Maureen. I'm Irish.
No, but I like, I'll tell you first something I do love that I love to turn people onto called Franciacorta. Franciacorte. It's made in Italy. It's not a Prosecco. It is done champagne style in the bottle, fermented. And it's called Franciacorta.
I think I dated her
great
in high school.
Bottle.
Franciacorta.
Franciacorta. And it's like $20 to $30, and it can match some really great champagnes twice its
And you
price.
Get it at any liquor store?
Like Whole Foods might have one bottle. A lot of places, people don't know about it, but it's a really great treat to bring somebody who likes bubbles to try something different. It's a sugary like Prosecco, which is done in vats. So my friend, a New York comic, married this guy in Rome who's a sommelier, and we're out to dinner. And I said, Marco, I don't normally like Prosecco. Marina, it is not Prosecco. It is Franciacorta. I'm like, all right.
So and this is what you brought?
No, that is bubble. something to bring, but I heard Richie Byrne say red is his favorite when you had Dina Blizzard on.
Oh, wow. Ooh. She did dig back a few episodes.
I just went right.
I was just kissing Dina's ass. That's all. She,
all right, well, whatever. Well, look what you freaking get now, then, in case you
didn't. No.
So why don't we take a sip and you tell me what you think it is.
Well, shouldn't we toast?
Oh, cheers, my
dear. How bad luck is that?
No, good luck. Cheers.
And here we go. I like that Maureen did the sophisticated, like, sip where it's a tiny sip. Richie opens his mouth and just pours.
Can I have more?
Shot. Yeah.
Well,
it's funny you say that because after the show, Maureen, very professional, nothing to drink before the show. In fact, I thought maybe you didn't drink and you had a
soda water
and cranberry. But then after the show, she turned the Valley Forge Casino into her own winery. Oh, she's doing samplings and tastings.
I'm not sure. Can I have another?
She has the waitress coming over and going, "A little red, please. Something in white."
Very well.
No, and I'm not saying you didn't, but I was like, "This isn't a winery. What do you have in red? What do you have in white?"
Now this is very good.
Yeah.
This is
you like
very
it? You know.
Well, I like it because it's sweet.
Isn't. It isn't.
Oh, it's not.
No, it's not. That's exactly why I don't.
Joel just knows that's the only
taste. Joel, you're out.
Yeah.
Clearly, I'm not a connoisseur.
No. What do you think it is?
What do I think it is?
Hmm. Just random. It doesn't matter. I wouldn't know if somebody asked me. I'm not
going
to.
Is it what brand? Sure.
Is it Shiraz?
We'll take that in. What else do you think it might be?
I have a feeling it's something not really like it's something probably really pop.
Closer to the microphone, Byrne.
Yeah. I don't know.
Since when? Seriously, I'm the only one people hear on this goddamn podcast.
Mark Riccadonna, anything? Shout out.
I don't know wines really well.
That's all right. No, I mean, I just know what I like.
I'm
so.
Gonna say
very, like it has like a if it,
tastes
it's
like red wine.
Filled.
Like, that not, would be full.
It's not like a.
It's full bodied.
Yeah.
It feels. It tastes filled.
Filled.
I feel like it's filled with flavor. What are you thinking? Come on, you're the only one who hasn't said it.
Well, I'm thinking it's one of the like ones you, normal ones the like a
sounds like Merlot
Pinot Noir
no that's
too
heavy.
I thought you wanted me to name the company.
No, I just want to know what you think it is.
I think it's Merlot.
Okay, I'm going to shall I reveal?
Reveal.
And may I set up why?
So
okay,
says.
So you guys, Dina was talking about a wine she likes, a type of wine, and she's like, I don't know where it's from, and you were like, oh, I think it's from the Outback, therefore it's Australian because it's called Malbec. From Argentina.
Oh, wow.
It's from Argentina. There's
I've
a lot
seen,
of good ones
yeah,
out there.
Yeah, Malbec, I've heard a lot about it. I've never had it. It's really good.
Malbec, not the Outback, and like Australia.
Wow.
Did I listen to your stupid podcast or what?
I see MLB and I think baseball. So.
Yeah, but then you thought heard back and you thought back. So anyway, do you like it?
I love it.
You to try it.
I love it.
Thank you so much. This is great. Yeah, and normally we're not drunk when we do this show.
No, I just wanted to do something nice because I
he just
like
did
it.
A Rodney Dangerfield eye roll for those of you listening.
Yeah.
Next time I'll bring the French accordion.
So that's what you brought? No.
I'm trying to tell you something. I would have brought.
No. It was a perfect setup.
I like her confidence that she thinks we're bringing her back.
Well, I'm not saying I'd come back, even if you begged.
The
hey,
next time.
You know, if I'm the only one bringing the liquor, I'm coming back.
You walked in with a bottle in a bag. And you were back.
With four clean glasses that I cleaned out at the comic strip. Okay.
I can't believe that, and you brought glasses. I would add paper cups.
No, these are from the strip, right?
Yeah, but I cleaned them really well.
I just thought she brought them, too. That's so funny.
We're in a bar, guys.
I was going to bring them. Like, wait, we're going to there's glasses there.
Yeah, it's the comic strip.
All right, enough
anyway,
with the wine. Let's
this
move this
delicious.
On.
Delicious. Let's get this.
Let's
on.
Keep this rolling. Come let's on, for the love of God.
A joke.
So
okay. So we have our drink. Say the name of the drink again. It's an Outback.
What is it?
Malbec.
And where's it from? Where's Malbec?
Argentina.
Don't cry.
Predominantly from Argentina is correct.
Argentinian wine.
Where the Italians started going after they came to America.
Really?
The Italians, yeah. That's why Manu Ginobili.
All of them.
Yeah, they closed. They started.
Well, they started kicking them out of America.
I thought they went to Staten Island.
That's Manu Ginobili, who plays for the San Antonio Spurs, looks Italian, but he's actually from Argentina. It doesn't matter. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm Maureen Langan. I'm a comic. MaureenLangan.com. You can follow me at Facebook, Maureen Langan. I don't know what's going on with these guys. I'm just
We're drunk. We're drunk. We're drunk.
A couple of sips. Couple of sips in.
So we need a joke. Do you have a joke?
No. Can I tell you something? I cannot stand. I was listening to your podcast. I know everybody has. I cannot stand boom boom jokes. I don't remember them. They annoy me. People come up to you, know that everybody comes up after a show. Use this, and it's the hackiest, corniest thing. I don't have any street jokes.
No street jokes?
I have no street jokes. I just have Langan jokes.
Do you have a Langan joke that you could do?
Well, I do talk about, I do judge people because it gives me hours of pleasure and I'm never going to stop. And people, right?
That Which is really why you listen to the podcast.
Right, so I could judge.
You just wanted to judge the shit out of us.
I do. I do. And the thing is, I used to want to be a better person, but I found it exhausting.
And I knew you then.
I know, that's why I'm hanging out with you. It makes me feel better about myself.
You
must feel better.
I also noticed how she was very hospitable, where she poured the wine and then gave us the feedback. Like, she came in, she goes, by the way, I brought you guys wine. By the way, I listened to your podcast. Here's what you're doing wrong.
I said it was damn good, which shocked me because so many podcasts suck.
No.
And
I worked
in broadcasting.
Well, our goal was not to suck.
Can I get to the punchline? It's like I got a heckler, a podcast heckler.
And I got the goddamn title of ADD guy out of the frame.
I'm sorry, Mark.
Oh.
So anyway, people say you should never judge another person until you have walked a mile in their shoes. You hear that all the time. Mm. I happen to be the daughter of a New York City garbage man. I have walked in other people's shoes.
Boom!
I like that.
I did. You had a one-woman show about it, right?
I did. I still have it.
It's
still up? Yeah.
Give us a little breakdown of the show. What's the arc? What's the theme? What do you guys...
Arc theme.
What's the
protagonist? What's the denouement? It's called Daughter of a Garbage Man, seriously. And it's about being raised by an Irish mother. My mother's an immigrant, but she's very safe in America because she's white and has blue eyes. I don't want anybody to worry about her. She almost could pass for Norwegian. Yeah, she almost looks Norwegian. Irish, like they could pass. No, and it's about being raised by this Irish mother who came here on a boat when she was 19. My father from the South Bronx who didn't finish high school. Raising six kids to get your education. And the juxtaposition of today's current values, our Kardashian and Trumptopia world, and about, like, my mother told me to get an education to develop a brain. Get to develop your brain. Get your education. She should have told me to dance with poles while I still had the body to do so, because that's the path to success. So what I really do is go beneath who these people are. I become my mother with her sadness, her secrets, her struggles. The same with my father. And I act them out, which is very vulnerable. And I worked with the director for a year in San Francisco, and I've toured with it. So... And it was, humbly tell you, it was one of the top three for 2017.
Nice.
I know, you're not supposed to brag when you're Irish. You know that. You're not supposed to say that. Well, you're not supposed to do that. So it's really, it takes you beneath these people. You know. But it takes you beneath
That's different.
Who these people are.
When you're this talented.
That's true. You could just sing karaoke and everything will work out. So that's really what it is. It's a juxtaposition of the values with which I was raised versus today's values. And it's social commentary. It's characters, my parents, myself. And really there's a message about who we are and who we're meant to be. And ultimately all we can do is walk in our own shoes as much as we might want to covet something else and do the right thing regardless of the rewards. So, but it's very funny, but it's also emotional. You might be surprised how emotional it is.
Nice. I'd love to see it. Are you thinking of doing it again?
Looking for some theaters now on the East Coast.
Because
it did a month in Edinburgh. It did a year in Berkeley and San Francisco. Did Nantucket in Florida. So.
And how many people are in it?
Me and my 14 personalities.
It's a one-woman show.
It is.
It's a one-woman show, but you got to see the cast.
Wouldn't that be funny if you don't like it? You know when you don't like a show and you like come up with, oh, the lighting was great. The cast was terrific.
Yeah, but people go daughteroftheGarbageMan.com. It'll take you to the page on my website that has the reviews.
Was he a New York garbage man or a Jersey?
A New York City sanitation worker. Yeah.
My brother's New York City sanitation
worker. Yeah? It's a tough job. These guys are out there in this heat.
We make fun of him all the time because he's off so much.
Is he really? Yeah. They had unlimited sick days when my father was doing it, which
is
good.
Well, you know what they do now. If you're sick, they come and check.
Oh, they did then. We would just say he couldn't come to the door. He was that sick.
Meanwhile, he was at the track.
Oh, yeah. If they call, maybe. Not the horse races, but, you know.
No, it's funny because.
Chasing something.
My mother was the other way. My mother was always like, what are you going to go to college for?
Oh.
They go, get a city job. That was like a...
My mother was like, you better have opportunity. Marry a Jew. No, she was always like, marry a Jew. They know how to take care of their families. I was the first to go to college. My mother tough Irish woman literally cried when she saw me walking. I'm like, well, suck it up, lady.
Now, what order were you in the siblings?
There's six, so it's boy, girl, boy, girl, boy, girl. So I'm Marsha and...
regimented.
Yeah, and Greg is a little brain damaged, but we don't talk about it.
Is it okay to laugh here?
Yeah. No, he's not. He's just slightly off. I think today he
so
would be
I.
called.
He's not looking windows or nothing.
I just found out growing up he was odd. You know, like he'd walk around with the American flag on. Like just you'd tell you we get the flag off the front lawn.
And how much older is he than you?
10 and a half months in one day.
Oh, very Irish.
So we went to school together. I was very protective of him. So I think in my personality I'm an oldest.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what does he do now?
He does heating and cooling systems. He's the only one of the six who didn't go to college. He went to the Navy, and he learned the skill, and he's doing well. And, you know, that's worked out for him. And the ironic thing is my mother, who told us to go to school, my father, the street guy who had the connections in the unions, was able to help him. So you see?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's good. It's a blessing. It is. I'm being too serious. All right, let's stop.
Now, how long have you been back on the East Coast?
I'm always back, like every month, every 6 weeks anyway.
Well, how come I haven't seen you in years?
Because you don't you stopped stalking. Now you're stalking again.
You, me, Lampanelli, we used to hang out a lot back
I did not hang out a lot with her. I didn't. I'm not.
Well, why did I always see you with her?
I don't. Maybe we're at the clubs at the same time. I mean, I didn't hang with her. We were at the clubs at the same time.
Yeah, I just felt like I was always with you guys.
Yeah, well.
I was with you a lot. I was with her a lot. Maybe I just was with the two of you
a lot. Maybe that's what it was.
The 90s. We're talking about the 90s.
I started.
You women all stick together, don't you?
He just called Richie a lesbian.
He thinks I'm a lesbian.
Yes, I know. I heard this story. People think you're a lesbian.
And Mark brings it up every podcast.
Yeah, I noticed that, Mark. You're a father now.
Yeah, oh God.
How many kids? You got two?
Two.
Wow.
Two, and they are nuts.
So you know when I had six miscarriages, and you know when you're on the fence, about having kids, when you have that many, you go, whoa, that was close. Dark humor. Dark. Dark.
Yeah, I love when our guests set themselves up.
You know,
if you guys aren't going to do it, I'm going to set them up and knock them down.
By the way, six miscarriages.
She's doing all the heavy lifting here.
Irish Catholic way of saying, not saying abortion. That's what I'm getting.
Well, they were spontaneous abortions.
Oh, my God.
Well, that's what they call
them. Oh, boy. I hope my mother doesn't listen to this one.
Well, that's what they call them.
Not even our parents listen to the podcast.
That's what they call them. They call them spontaneous. Here, Richie, I'll give you the rest.
Thank you. Is there a lot of sugar in this?
There's no sugar in
my Oh, my God. Really?
I'm on the keto diet. So this
Here,
can't be good.
Let's pour it back. Do you want us to pour it back into
the
glass?
No.
Okay.
I'm making it because it's a gift.
No.
Oh, you guys. No, this is good that you're doing
Normally
this.
You don't drink and smoke while you're pregnant, but whatever you did, you did.
A little pot. It's so funny because on the box, when you find out you're pregnant on the stick, it tells you if you have any questions. It's like 1-800, da-da-da-da-da, and there's like, this is a real nurse, and it has this picture of a lady. So I call, are you the lady on the box? And she says, how can I help you? I go, all right, it was the big Christmas parties at Gotham, and that was just like a month ago, and I had a lot of red wine. Is my baby going to be deformed? Go. She's like, wow. And I said, well, you have to understand. I swear to God, I said this to her. I'm the oldest girl of six. My brother's a little off, so I'm the parentified child, and I had a lot of responsibility, so I'm very nervous. Is my kid going to be all right? So this, I called the lady on the box. She's like, I think you need a therapist.
I think you make a good point here in that I think that you think I wouldn't be a good mother. Because that I think that's always why I didn't have kids.
You wouldn't be a good mother?
I don't think I'd be a good father.
You just said mother.
No, but I'm saying the way you were talking, like, oh, my God.
Oh, no, I would be a great mother. I would be. I just did so much mothering. You don't know how I feel?
No, I think you would. So do you think you'd be a great mother?
Yeah, I do. I think I'd be grouchy.
Because I think a lot of I see a lot of people and I go, man, you really suck at this.
No, I would be good. I love kids. And I'm gravitate to them. I like them. My sister says to me, all our nieces and nephews, their idiosyncrasies. It's just that as the oldest girl, when you have so much responsibility, and one of my siblings is 14 years younger than I am, you just always have a kid on your hip.
I wasn't
carefree. Yeah, I didn't have that carefree. I wasn't able to come and go as I pleased. And, you know, my parents, I'm not complaining. They did the best they could. I'm just saying there's always so much responsibility. I didn't feel like kids go, remember the good old days when you, I'm going, I don't know.
No,
I'm building them out.
Good old days are happening now.
Well, and my parents are great. I wouldn't have what I have if they weren't so violent. No. My father father's a little rough. No, my I'm just saying I didn't want that. I was done with that mothering energy. I wanted to have the fun, carefree energy.
Yeah.
And responsible. I'm responsible.
I was the youngest of, like, all my cousins and stuff.
Oh, yeah,
so
how many?
I was, well, if you count second cousins. Which
oh, God, here, this
did,
is like a math problem.
Well, I mean, we're talking under 10.
All right.
But I was always the youngest, so everything, I was always taken care of, which is, like, kind of the opposite of what you're
right.
talking about. So to me, talking about childhood was, like, I never remembered thinking about anything. I did whatever I wanted. Somebody was always taking care of me.
See, now let me ask you that.
And now it's me and Joel.
But as a father, do you find, like, because you're so used to people going, oh, this is how you do it, and this
yeah.
is how, do you find, like, you go, oh, God, I got to make the decision now? Do
well,
you find
the,
that?
The hardest thing is everybody already had kids in our family, so I was the last to have them. So the first time my parents came to visit me when we were at the hospital with the kid, they saw me just pick up the baby and hold it and stuff. They're like, oh, my God, he knows how to do this. Like, they were so worried I was going to be horrible because
right.
I was used to everybody doing
yeah.
it for me. But I also think that's part of why I left Ohio and moved to New York was
no babies
nobody
to hold?
Knows me. Here. I can just do my own thing here.
Yeah, there's an yeah.
So there was, like, the weight of being the youngest is not as bad as being one of the caretakers, but I think you get a weight because, to me, it's everything was always trying to prove, I can do that, I can do
huh.
this.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, it sounds like you kind of had the opposite, where it's like, well, I'll do it for you, or I'll take care
Maureen,
of it.
My mother
would
be like, Maureen knows how to do that. Maureen will do that. Maureen will call. Maureen, will Maureen, you take care of it. I'm like, oh, God. Now I still have to, I find myself doing it. I'm like, Ma, I can't, you have to. No. And my mother's very strong and independent. It's just like delegating. Like,
yeah.
I can't do, I can't
she
do
was
anymore.
The Superman.
I just, but, like, I had a friend, he has kids, and I'm like, why do you have kids?
Well, because
and
you had no desire.
And
oh, go ahead.
Well, no, to be honest, Maureen, I didn't want to do it and be on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't married, so I guess that was part of it. But I didn't want to be, God bless this guy. And
yeah.
And Joey Cola, one of the greatest fathers I've ever seen. And, you know, but I was like, I don't want to be doing the comedy thing and, you know, and being on the road and all that stuff. And then when I was old enough where I was kind of doing okay, and I was too old.
Don't you wish, like, if we had more time in life, then you'd go, okay, I'm going to do this until then, then I'm going to do that.
Yeah, yeah, and I think
or
that
you could call your own shots, you know, where it's like, okay, I'll do this, and then when I'm done doing this, I'll do this. It's like, when you say, I want to do this, that might not happen.
Yeah, you can't write your own script.
Frame. Yeah, it's like,
it's true, isn't it?
You know, oh, well, by this time, I'll be making this kind of money.
Yeah.
And realistically...
Yeah. Yeah. And my wife has no maternal instincts whatsoever. Has none. No interest in children.
Hmm. See,
know.
I have that, but the thing is, I would have felt trapped because I just like do whatever I want whenever I want.
You can't go to LA for 6 weeks.
Yeah, I just
well, I guess you
it's
could.
A psychological trap feeling.
Right.
It's
that,
just
I think
growing
exactly
up in an alcoholic family, feeling like scared and feeling like, oh God, I just
see,
can't.
See, my family was an alcoholic family until I joined it.
until you hit 16.
I said to a buddy of mine, I go, what are you doing with kids? He goes, I don't want to die alone. I'm like, I'm pretty sure they're not going with you.
Yeah,
you can adopt a puppy.
I mean, you know, I mean, that whole idea of, you know, so for the last year of your life when you're in a bed with drool hanging down, you know, there's someone sitting there waiting for you to go because they're tired
yeah.
of coming
no,
in.
No, you can't
day.
Do it for that reason. Though, you know, it's nice to have family sometimes. Sometimes you got to steal yourself.
I'm nice
no?
to my nieces and nephews. Them. One of them will take me in when the time comes.
They always say you get, you can't, I can't say on the air, but you always get one. I can't say it's bad because it's bad. Like, you're not allowed to say
one kid?
No, you can't.
You,
you
do.
Usually get, you get one MF-er and one little.
There's always one who's a little.
Artard.
Yeah.
And.
Pain in the, or just a pain in the ass.
Oh, God.
There's
know.
Always. My 2-year-old's already the pain in the ass.
I mean, there's always one who takes all the money.
Or
know,
saps your soul.
Saps the parents. Yeah.
It's always angry. Always
yeah,
the victim. I hate the victim stuff. I can't take it. The victim stuff.
Now, how do you get along with your brothers and sisters then? I mean,
me or her?
Both of you.
How many siblings do you have, Richie?
I have 3 brothers.
Oh, where do you fall?
I'm second. I'm 14 months younger than the older.
All right, the Irish thing. What about you, Soul Joel? Any
2 sisters, younger.
Oh, so you're an oldest. That's
yep.
why you're a take charge guy and make things happen.
Yeah.
Soul Joel.
Yep,
sending me to Uniontown. Anybody else going to Uniontown, Wisconsin? 500 hours away. He's like, I'll let you drive with somebody. I go, no, that's worse. That's worse. I got to be trapped alive in a car with somebody?
Well, no. It was a discussion. And I go, well, if you want, I can have you drive with someone. She goes, nah, I'll drive by myself.
I love when there are people who make fun of you about your name, about the whole Soul Joe thing. And they'll say to me, what's up with the Soul Joe thing? And I'm like, basically, it rhymed with Joel. I think that's all he did. There's nothing about him that's soulful.
People remember it.
And people always like, I thought he was black because it's Soul
so,
Joel.
So, you know, I got that. I got that part.
Yeah.
Thank you. I just was worried.
I don't need subtitles.
Somehow.
But where are you living, Riccadonna?
I live in Philadelphia now.
Oh, you are in Philly. Yeah. You're just moving around.
Yeah, you get it. It was the idea of either changing my lifestyle if we were here or if we moved, I could keep as a comedian and a writer.
But is Philly that much more cost effective than New York?
Yeah.
Right. And you're on the outskirts of Philly.
Yeah.
You're in Jersey, right?
No, I'm not in Jersey.
I thought you were in Jersey.
He's in Jersey.
I thought you were, like, because I know you guys are close. So
I'm like 15 minutes from him.
So yeah, you are.
On the Pennsylvania
you're in
side.
Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
What town?
Bensalem.
All right.
Oh, Bensalem, okay.
And there's a casino right there.
Oh, good.
It's a cool.
Good. Is there karaoke?
I'm sure that we can find karaoke for Rich if he won the
move. I don't. Here's the funny thing is that I don't do a lot of karaoke, and I think it's funny that Maureen's making it sound like I run around all over. There's
you
karaoke
do.
Night.
Well,
karaoke.
How come the guy knew you when you walked into the
because
Valley Forge? It's Richie Bang!
Because by the time it's 11 o'clock, 11:30 at Valley Forge, I'm hammered.
Really?
Yeah, and then I'm like, I'll sing.
We should go out with it again, though, at the end, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my
so now
God,
that it's
yeah.
set up so beautifully.
Sexy voice.
You know what I love? D.F. Swiedler is teaching his class, and we can see them from here. We're at the comic strip. I took my first class with him.
Did you really?
Yeah, and I did a joke about...
Shout out to D.F. Swiedler.
My mother didn't want me to use tampons. They're too much like having sex. So I said, bring on a box. I'll have an orgy. Yeah, early on. That was all right. But then he wanted me to do cat and dog material. I couldn't do it. But he teaches a lot of kids, right? Look at hopeful
nice
people.
Little group in there, huh?
People no. have no idea what they're in for. So sad to see all that hope. Look at them jotting notes and crap.
No, when I was when I took classes, a couple of classes I took, they didn't really steer you in a direction of talk about this. And I noticed that seems to happen a lot more in the few classes I've sat in on now. They're always like, hey, you know, you should talk about blah, 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 blah. Like, I think you should let someone talk about what they want to talk about.
It was more about trimming your own material, right?
I had some corny jokes about cats and dogs, but I didn't want to do it just because it was assignments that led you, you know, just here's the topic. Yeah. And they didn't feel authentic. And it's funny, in hindsight, they aren't. And it's interesting, you know your own instincts.
Like your
but then you know everybody tries to tell you, like, I had someone go, don't talk so fast. But I can't keep up with
that's
my thinking.
Part of
your well, it's just who I am. Yeah, it's not like I'm trying. I mean, I can be chill here. We're hanging. But when I get on stage, the adrenaline runs and I can't keep up with it.
I think doing radio, it probably helps to talk that way. To keep to engage your audience.
It's just a gift, Soul Joel. It's not like I even try.
That's what she sounds like.
Anyway.
But I just lost my train of thought.
Well,
one of my favorite lines
welcome to Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling.
This Argentinian wine must have went right tonight.
Where's Malbec from? Argentina.
Malbec. Yep.
So if you guys watch I'm Dying Up Here, there's a line that I think so, such a comedian's line. They said they're sitting in the shitty hotel room. It's three comics. And the one guy goes, you know, when they said comedy was going to change your life, I thought it was going to be for the better.
Yeah, that is
right. What was your shittiest gig? Let's tell. Have you done all this? You probably have a million.
No,
times.
We haven't really done that.
Let's talk shittiest gigs ever.
Well, I'm doing this thing for Joel on Wednesday.
Not a room with no window. Where is it?
It doesn't matter.
Can I talk about it? Or
no.
Really?
Why?
I.
Look at him.
I'm doing a gig for Joel that I'm not allowed to tell you what it is, but it doesn't sound like fun. And Mark did it last year.
Why can't you talk about it?
I'm not a big guy. If I have a continual relationship, I don't want to. I don't.
You don't want to dump on it.
So yeah.
You don't want to shit on a relationship.
So all bets are off when we do the podcast, except if it's you.
Yes. That's
okay.
Correct. I can
just
see that. Yeah. I see what's happening here. I see control.
Shitty karaoke.
Oldest, two younger sisters.
But Joel. Anyway. worst gig?
Yeah.
Back in the early 90s, I used to open Greg Morton. You know Greg
Yeah,
Morton?
Greg Morton from Toronto. Great
yeah,
comic.
Great comic. And a great
really great impressionist.
Yeah.
Really great. Tina great Turner. Everything. I can't.
And
Tina
that's
Turner.
Political humor. I mean, Craig does.
I haven't seen him in years, but
he's
I love
amazing.
Him.
I haven't seen him in years either, but he's amazing. So he got all these colleges. He got like 100-something colleges in 1 year. And he was getting.
Wow, that's money.
He was like, I can't keep doing these on my own. So when he was in the East Coast, he hired me to drive him and open for him. And so the problem was we'd go into these colleges, and no one knew I was coming a lot of times. Mm. Maybe just whoever, the booker. And I literally would get brought up at times like, yo, the guy you see on the posters all over campus, he'll be up later.
Not him.
they're going to have this other guy come up. I literally had a guy go, I hope he better be funny because I'm missing my favorite show for this. Like that was an opening. And
oh my God! And that's your worst.
And I would no. And I would eat it.
Yeah, because
so
you
bad.
Weren't set up. Yeah.
But when I was killing, when I did well, Greg would sit in the back, go, keep going, and that's the kind of person he is.
Ah, that's generous.
Yeah,
that's
and,
generous.
And I learned so much from that. But one night, they were really tough, and we had a rule. When he finished the show, if he didn't see me, it meant I was in the car. And whenever he could get out, that's fine. I'm in the car. Because it meant I had a bad night. I don't want to talk. You know,
yeah,
the
God,
last thing
I want
to do is talk to anyone, okay?
Especially so, college kids.
Yeah. So I do the show. And I'm like, they're kind of assholes, but I got them. And all of a sudden, a group of guys come in, sit in the back, and start making this sound with their voices that... I guess was a joke amongst them.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, like they were going, mm-hmm, and they were all doing it, and everybody started laughing, and they wouldn't stop doing it, to the point where the whole room started doing it.
Oh God!
And at one point, I go, all right, you know what? I go, I'm gonna bring up your headliner, and somebody clapped, and I go, really? Did you just clap because I'm bringing up your headliner? And they go, yeah, and they all start. I go, you know what? Fuck you people.
I'm staying
go,
up for
I'm
20 more minutes.
I'm staying up here. I'm going to do my act until you guys give me an applause break. I'm going to keep
moving.
Telling jokes till you guys applaud. So I tell a joke, and they gave me a standing ovation. These little fucks stood up to get me off the stage.
Wow.
So, ladies and gentlemen, Greg Morton.
But they were with you, though. They were. They
no,
was,
they
no,
were being
all right,
real
never mind.
So he goes out and kills, crushes, and goes out. And what I found amazing was he would go out, start his act, and if they gave him shit, he'd go, nah, we're not doing that. I saw him walk off stage and go, you know what? I'm too old. I've done this for too long.
Greg Morton.
I don't need your bullshit. And he's the nicest guy in the world, right?
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm done. And he would walk off the stage. I saw him do it three times. And all three times, the kids were like, we'll be good. We'll be good. And he'd walk back and go, no. It's either me talking or you guys.
This is
talking.
Like Elton John.
Where he would lay into them, and each time, he got them, and then did an hour crushed.
But
you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. But there's times you feel like you want to connect. You want it to be like the symbiotic relationship up there. That's what I want. And then you're sometimes with people that they don't give a crap. They're not interested. And you're like, why am I doing this?
Like,
2 years of graduate
right
school.
Now,
what am
I
doing
done
this?
With the story, but you
well, that was the longest fucking story.
So
I asked you what was your
you
worst
asked?
Gig. It's like 1,400 stories.
So,
right, go ahead.
What's your worst?
No, I can't let him wrap this up.
Oh,
right
I'm
now.
Sorry. I'm
right
sorry.
Right now? How about right now? How about now? Like now? I'm like I'm so much pain.
If you would shut up, I'd be
done. Oh yeah. Okay, it's me. I'm the problem. All right, I'm the problem. All right. Okay, I'll play.
This night.
This more.
Worst night of my life.
This is worst night of
my
life.
I go, I'm staying. I'm not going to the car.
Oh.
So when he came off, he didn't expect to see me there. I said, I want to see how I'm treated. And I have never been treated like the people after the show. They're going up to Greg going, you were really great. And they're looking at me like I'm not really there. Like, you were really funny. Like I had leprosy, like moving away from me and shit.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, this is as bad as it can be. Even after the show.
But we've all had those. Like, you know, where you just feel
but
like,
you asked me what the worst was.
No, I is. I'm glad you told me. No, I'm glad. No, I feel good that you shared.
That and I was on a cruise
no,
ship.
No more.
No more. This is quick. I was on a cruise ship. The weird thing is, that was Mark screaming. I was on a cruise ship, and we had to do a Q&A with the people from the audience, and I had done my show the night before, and it was the singer and whoever else, and I go, I have three brothers, and they're all funnier than me. And a guy yells out, well, where the hell are they? I thought, that's great.
That's good. Great. That's
so,
good.
Go ahead. What's yours?
Well, this wasn't my worst. I'll get to my worst. This is a short story. Opening for Joy Behar. I opened for Joy a million times. And she was all she gets a little nervous before. She's like, she's like, aren't you nervous? I go, you're nervous for both of us. And she was lovely to me. Everything was great. We're in a big theater, about 2,500 people. And then the MC goes, Sound of God, ladies and gentlemen, coming to the stage, a good friend of Joy, a comic that she's worked with before. Now they're expecting, what, Rosie or Whoopi? And it's like, Maureen Langan. And I get up there and everybody's like, wow. I go, listen, you think you're disappointed? How about me?
Okay, can you please make the sound of confusion?
And then the other thing was I was doing a gig at the Throckmorton in Mill Valley, which is just one town north of, really just north of San Francisco. Great place. It's where Dana Carvey and Robin Williams, it was their home club. So they just popped in right ahead of me. I was supposed to headline. They just pop in and happen to just riff for 45 minutes. Ladies and gentlemen, Maureen Langan.
Wow, yeah, that's brutal.
I said, well, they have a career. I got nothing. I'm the daughter of a garbage man. I got shit. I got to come on after this. It isn't bad enough. My life isn't hard enough. I need this. And then they came on board. But the worst was when a guy pissed in the car behind the seat.
Wait, what?
This was the worst. I was working with a guy from Boston. He brought his friend.
Enough said.
And we're in a van going from Vegas to Laughlin, Nevada. Hey, bragging. You know Sylvia Plath? Probably not. But Sylvia Plath put her head in an oven. All she had to do was sit in a corner in Laughlin, Nevada, and she would have been dead in minutes. It was the hottest place. You couldn't touch a doorknob. So these two guys, I get in the car. The guy goes, I'm up front. I'm sitting up front, like total gentleman. I go, well, that's fine. I don't care. He's a headliner. He goes, yeah, and I'm smoking too. I'm like, okay, this is a lovely start. Wow. Hi, I'm Maureen Langan. Pleasure to meet you. Then his friend is behind me because it's a little minivan. He goes, I got to piss. And the very manly female driver says, I could stop and you can pee on the side of the road, but it's desert. He's like, no. He takes out a styrofoam cup and pisses right behind me, and I get to smell that all the time. And now I would have been like, you guys suck. You're a piece of crap. Are you kidding me? Then I just was like, oh, God. Then the headliner who smoked in the car did not want to be in the room during the set. Therefore, he doesn't know what's going on in the room, right? So how I kind of use my material to come in and out of the people in the audience?
Yeah.
And it's not crowd work. It's what I do. There might be people I play with. He comes in and goes, listen, sweetheart. I can't be in here where you're doing this, Listen, just keep it like that. And he's out there gambling and jonesing because he doesn't drink anymore. So they replace the addiction.
I'm thinking,
just because you're not a pro, I got a friend. And he was like, and then I go back to the hotel room. I had to work with him another time. I'm at the Tropicana. And I go up into my hotel room and the floor stinks. And I call downstairs. I go, there's something odorous in here. And they said, the body was removed a couple hours ago. The body was removed. God. You're not in the Tropicana itself. The gig was there, but you're kept in some condos.
In Atlantic City.
Yeah, that's some condos. Ridiculous. Yeah, I don't want people to think it was a Tropicana. I don't want to. It was a. And then I'm thinking.
The Tropicana, who wouldn't put the comics in the Tropicana?
They wouldn't.
So it's okay.
Yeah, but then this headliner, I'm thinking, oh my God, he's following me and he's trying to kill me.
I got the wrong body.
Can I tell one more story?
Please. No, God, I hope so.
It's long. I love how you all looked at me like, shit, is it? I was opening for Jackie the Joke Man when at a college. And the kid who booked the show was also a comic. And he was going, dude, I'm going to do like 10 minutes, bring you up, and then I'll bring up Jackie. It's going to be awesome, blah, blah, blah. So we go out, and this is when Jackie was huge. And we start walking up. I'm right behind him. He's going to walk up to the stage. He's got the mic off stage. We're going to do this, man. It's going to be great. Jackie, it's going to be great. As we're walking up, you hear the crowd going, Jackie, Jackie. The kid gets nervous, and there's a speaker as he's walking up the steps, and he gets behind the speaker, and he goes, who is it you guys came here to see? And they go, Jackie. And he goes, who'd you come here to see? And they go, Jackie. And he goes, Jackie will be out soon, but first we got a guy coming up. And they go, boo. And I'm behind him going, he bailed. He's bringing me up. I go, you motherfucker. You scumbag. And he goes, bring it up. Give it up for Richie Byrne. Fuck him. Boo. So I go out, and they're yelling, screaming. And I go, who'd you guys come to see? They go, Jackie. I go, who'd you come to see? Jackie. This goes up for like 5 minutes. Finally, they're like, Jackie. They were like exhausted. Like, and I go, well, Jackie will be out soon, but you're going to have to put up with me. And it went fine after that. But I'll never forget, this kid just bailed on the show. Just fuck you. I booked it. Screw you. I'm not going up.
Yeah, that's funny.
Jackie.
So one more time, plug all your...
Maureen Langan is who I am, LANGAN.com, daughter of a garbage man.com.
For all your tour dates?
Just go to Facebook. No, go to my website, MaureenLangan.com.
All right, that's Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling.
You guys are awesome. Thank you for having me.
Love
Richie,
you,
Soul Joel, Mark, great to see you guys. Thank you.
Last call.
Thanks for listening to Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling.